Football is on at Yard House. Step up your game at Yard House with Monday Night Happy Hour from kickoff to the final play, featuring appetizers starting at $5. Enjoy game day favorites, including boneless wings, pizzas, poke nachos, and more. Plus, catch all the action on over 20 flat-screen TVs and enjoy the largest selection of draft beer with over 100 beers on tap. This season, make Yard House your home for football. Visit yardhouse.com for details.
Dr. Wiley says we will not take over the world unless we are listening to
GeekCast Radio Network.
Maybe you should play something else.
Hello and welcome to GCR and Wars. This is episode 17. This is round two of our video game character tournament. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And Optimus Solo, a.k.a. Solo Mac.
No.
Yes.
But I am here.
It's never going to die, dude.
That's as good as your acronym.
With as much crap as you give me, you're never living Solo Mac down.
Yeah, it's kind of like Barneytron.
All right, so we are here to reveal the round one winners and also discuss the round two matchups for this tournament. The other hosts that were supposed to join us, they're
getting beat by the losers of round one.
They got eaten by Kirby. They just haven't gotten shot back out yet. Oh, that was Yoshi.
Oh,
they got tongued and then turned into eggs.
So we're still waiting for them to come back to the living, so hopefully they'll be here, some of them, next time we record.
So I guess my whole sucking and blowing thing with Kirby actually did come true. What I was going to originally say was the Duck Hunt dog ate everybody else.
I like where we went with it much better.
Shut up. Jerk. All right, Kev, what do we got?
Well, for the last 2 weeks, we've been discussing round one, which saw 32 classic video game character icons, whatever you want to call them, go up against each other. Let's not get caught up in the semantics. So we spent the first week talking about all the Nintendo characters. Then we came back the next week talking about the second half of round one, which included a variety of PlayStation, Sega, old school, you know, et cetera type characters. But we did not reveal any of the results, so that will be what we're doing right now, as well as getting into the second round matchups as we try to narrow our field. So today we go from 32 to 16, and then we'll discuss basically who we think should be in the Elite Eight. So starting back with the first battle that we talked about 2 weeks ago, that was Mario and Luigi. Steve, how did the people vote, and who came out the victor between Mario and Luigi?
This one was 28-4. Mario slam dunked it.
Slam Dunkaroonie for Mario. So a pretty big victory by 24 votes out of the 32. He beat him by 24. So Mario moves on, and Mario was set to face the winner of Yoshi and Toad. Steve, how did Yoshi and Toad fare against each other?
Yoshi won 20-9.
So an even bigger victory, 20-9 by Yoshi. Which means that for our first round two matchup today, we have Mario going against Yoshi. Mike, what do you think?
I don't know, because it's been a while. Like, I know there have been multiple versions of Smash Brothers in the last 10 years, but honestly, the last version I played was on the N64. And it just, having Mario go against Yoshi, it's a little bit strange to me, because they usually are working together. Now, obviously we know popular vote was not going to get Toad in here, but I kind of would have liked to see Mario versus Toad so Mario can give the beatdown on that annoying little mushroom. As far as Mario versus Yoshi, I don't know, man.
I'm not even sure which one's the more popular character. I mean, you think Mario because he's been around longer, etc., but they're both pretty popular. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we can necessarily predict this one just based on saying, oh, the more popular character is going to win. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things to look at. I mean, obviously Mario has, you know, we hashed out the powers that he has in round one. You know, he has the fireballs. He can turn into the raccoon, Tanuki, you know, et cetera, frog suit, whatever. But you kind of got to look, too, at the games that they were together, mm-hmm. in which case Yoshi was usually pretty reliant on Mario being on his back mm-hmm. and controlling him and navigating him, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But we did talk about in round one that Yoshi, it's hard to beat Yoshi because, you know, if you hit him, he just runs around until somebody else jumps on his back. And he can obviously stick his tongue out, eat you, and poop you out as an egg.
Yeah, the only time Yoshi can die, at least in Super Mario World, I don't know about Yoshi's Island, Super Mario World 2, that game's too weird for me. But in the original Super Mario World game, the only time Yoshi can die is if you're on a level that has a side-scrolling screen where the screen is moving with you so you can't go back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can only die there, or if you jump off his back and, you know, have him land in a pit. So those are the only two ways Yoshi.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Mario's best chance might be to jump on Yoshi's back mm-hmm. because Yoshi's not going to be able to do anything about that. Mario can then direct him towards a cliff and then jump off at the last second, sending Yoshi to his death. But he has to do all that before Yoshi can eat him.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you think? How does this one play out?
I think Mario's going to get his flight power and fly over him as he gets hit by a mushroom. No. I think Yoshi's going to lose because of two reasons. Not only does Mario have all of his different adaptability blocks that he obtains throughout the levels, we also have the fact that, Yoshi may be impenetrable for the most part, unless he gets bumped into, mm-hmm. and then he runs off a cliff by himself,
right.
because there's no pilot. And then the fact that Mario is a fan favorite, so he's going to destroy Yoshi just for that reason alone, which is an unfortunate reason. But I think it's also because you have human versus dino, and human has smarter.
Yeah, I mean, Yoshi definitely does have that lemming characteristic, so... you would think Mario would be able to outsmart him in a way and get him to basically defeat himself. If I was going for which character I liked better, I would probably pick Yoshi. Although we did have one commenter, in the post for last round mentioned that they could or they should team up, form an alliance, and try to run the table on the rest of the tournament together.
That would be hilarious, but it would never happen.
So that would be interesting. So my heart wants Yoshi to win, but I really think not just playing the fan favorite or the popular character, but I think Mario should be able to somehow outsmart him, whether he uses his different powers, whether he flies above, whether he jumps on his back and leads him to his own death, or, you know, whether he just bumps into him and Yoshi runs off on his own. I mean, I think the lemming characteristic comes into play. Yoshi could beat anybody in this tournament if he had the right opportunity, but I think he still has a bunch of weaknesses, and I think Mario takes advantage of that. Mike?
I think that it's one of those things where you just don't know how people are going to vote, and you don't know if they've actually listened to our opinions here on the podcast. But it's going to be interesting to see how far Yoshi makes it if he beats Mario here. Because and I'm not doing any predictions here, I'm just stating a fact. Looking at the entire cast of 32 characters, I don't know how any of these other characters are going to fight Yoshi. I just don't know.
Well, I think there would be some intriguing matchups. I mean, I think you know, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Yoshi, Kirby, some of those would be interesting matchups where they have some of the same strengths. But I honestly, a lot of people had the comments and they see certain people running away with this one way or the other. And I'm not saying that you can't see that from a few people, but I think it'd be a mistake to say that any of these 32 characters does not have a weakness, because they all have a weakness and they all can be beaten. I think it just depends on who matches up with who. In this one, Mario is so used to controlling Yoshi and being the leader of that group that, he could just play fetch with Yoshi, throw a freaking branch off a cliff, and Yoshi would probably go chase it.
He would go.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I'm going with Mario on this one, even though I would rather have Yoshi win.
Yeah, I gotta go with Mario too.
All right, so we're unanimous on that. We'll see how you guys, the listeners, vote on that one. In the next section of that bracket, we had in the first round, Princess Peach facing off against Zelda. Steve, how did that one work out?
Well, Zelda crushed Peach, sounds hilarious. She crushed a peach. 20-4.
So another landslide for Zelda, 20-4, only four people voting for Peach. Obviously, that matches the lowest so far with only four people voting for Luigi in that first battle. And the winner there, Zelda, would go on to face, and this is an interesting matchup possibly, Zelda would go on to face the winner between Little Mac from Punch-Out or Link, also from the Zelda franchise. So who is Zelda facing, Link or Little Mac?
Surprisingly, despite the fact that we tried to build a good case for this character, Little Mac got stomped by Link 21-3.
And obviously, that's not necessarily surprising. A lot of times it does come to who's the more popular, and obviously there is a landslide of Zelda fans out there and Link fans. I think that would be closer than that. I don't think 21-3 quite does that justice, and Lil Mac now holds the reign for the fewest votes with three here so far. So that would set up a matchup between Zelda and Link, Mike.
This got domestic abuse written all over it. I'm sorry. I'm so used to them being in a relationship or dating or whatever through the cartoon series or any of the games. And it's like, this is just so weird to have the two of them fighting against each other. I almost wish, even though I didn't vote for him, I almost wish Little Mac had won.
That would be more brutal, because then we'd have an actual boxer beating the crap out of Zelda. If he was successful.
Oh, crap.
Is this a case? Could you make the case that that Zelda and Link come head to head, you know, facing off against each other, and we see like what Kevin Nash did back in the NWO days, where Link just lays his sword down and takes one for the team?
Potentially, yeah.
You would think so, but I would beg to differ.
I mean, I hope he wouldn't do that, but I could see the chivalry coming out in him, just being like, Zelda, you deserve to go forward. I can't hit you.
See, here's the thing, okay? Yeah, sure, Link has been in numerous amounts of the Zelda games. Obviously, he started the original Zelda game, but I keep, and I know I shouldn't do this, but I keep going back to the animated series from the 90s, and all I can think of is Link will let Zelda beat him if she'll just give him a kiss.
Just give me a kiss. Well, I mean, what ways does Zelda have to combat against Link other than trying to just use her mental prowess to, you know, convince Link or to trick Link through flirtation? Link has a lot of weapons. He's got a shield, he's got swords, boomerangs, he's got lots of different things that he can use. He's a experienced fighter. Zelda is experienced at getting captured.
No. Zelda is not... Okay, yeah, that's the premise of the game. Zelda is no Peach. Zelda isn't, you know, this is your princess in, you know, in another castle. No. Zelda is a fighter. Even though in the game she's not, obviously, she's the one you have to save, but she really can be a fighter, and she does use magic. She's used the boomerangs before. But I'm not sure how this one's going to play out. I'm not sure. And again, because Link is so chivalrous, I don't think he'll fight her. Obviously, you know, our tournament here in the voting will, you know, determine that. But I'm just thinking of, you know, if I saw the two of them out in my front lawn right now, I think you're right. I think Link would, you know, basically kneel on his sword, pretty much.
Steve, you disagree?
I think Link's going to take it. I think he'll knock her out mid transformation.
It could be like a Dark Link, like some type of thing has come over him, and he's no longer chivalrous, and then he's just badass.
Yeah, he'll become Toon Link. It's a different version. That's his little kid version. It doesn't play fair. So it knocks her out while she's in mid transformation to Sheik with the shield or the boomerang. It may be a combination of both. So it's just a like that, except, you know, she gets knocked out.
Yeah, I think I would, you know, if they are actually going to fight, I would be siding with Link. But I agree that there is that one case scenario, Mike, where someone was actually playing this out to how we kind of want them to in an actual battlefield scenario or type of thing, that Link, there is that chance that he doesn't fight her.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the way, that would be the best argument for Zelda, I think, would be for Link to almost lay down his arms. But otherwise, I think Link takes this one.
I do think that out of all of the round two matchups we're going to talk about tonight, that this is going to be the most the closest one or the most interesting one to see how many people voted for which character. Because, you know, no offense to any of the other characters, these are two people that eventually fall in love with each other at some point or another in some part of the Zelda universe, you know. So this is going to be, for me, this is going to be the results that I'm most looking forward to finding out what, you know, who voted for who. And how the match came out, because I just don't know. I almost don't want to cast a vote for either one of them, because it's just so wrong.
I think the thing I'd be most interested in would be to see what scenarios people have. And maybe someone's thinking of another way that Zelda wins this, another scenario or something like that. So I'd love people to go to the website and find the episode post and go ahead and comment on what scenarios are you guys picturing? What is going through your mind as you decide who you're voting for in this matchup particularly, and all the matchups, of course. So that would be the next section on this bracket. Moving down a little bit further on the bracket, we had our fifth battle, which saw Mega Man fight against Beautiful Joe. How did the voting go between Mega Man and Beautiful Joe, Steve?
Not so hot for Beautiful.
He's not so beautiful.
Nope. He kind of ugly. This one got knocked out of the park again because Mega Man stole his powers and made him ugly with 21-3.
Same numbers as Link and Lil Mac. I don't know if I would think it would be that much of a blowout. Am I surprised that Mega Man won? Absolutely not. Did I vote for Mega Man? Absolutely. 21-3, maybe somewhat surprising, but I guess when it comes down to it, you got to vote for who you think is going to win, and I guess 9 times out of 10, that's going to be Mega Man. So that would bring Mega Man to face off against the winner between the sixth battle in round one, which was Donkey Kong and Fox McCloud. How did that fight go?
Donkey Kong kicks some ass.
I'm just dumbstruck.
It is the closest.
Hey, he did literally kick some ass.
What was the count?
Rocket Raccoon, Fox McCloud did not win. It was 15-10.
Oh, so only God. By 5 votes. This is the closest we've had so far, 15-10. So it's an actual close one. This is one of the ones we debated the most on that episode. So maybe not a surprise that it's that close. So Donkey Kong comes away with a 5-point win, which then pits Donkey Kong against Mega Man. Steve, Mega Man and Donkey Kong. I mean, Donkey Kong has the same thing that worked for him against Fox McCloud could work against Mega Man. He has the brute strength, the power, the ability to just throw stuff at you, shoot out of barrels, ride on rhinos or dolphins or whatever. But then, of course, Mega Man has a library of weapons to use to shoot at you, and he's mastered the art of clinging onto ladders and balancing on tight spaces. So how do you see this one go?
Mario did it better. Mega Man really couldn't hold on to a whole lot until he became Mega Man X anyway. But in this instance, I'm still going to have to go Mega Man, only because not anything against Donkey Kong, because I do enjoy the games as well, and I do enjoy Mega Man, but Mega Man has the ability to steal powers from people.
But Donkey Kong has no powers.
Donkey Kong has no powers, but he just has crazy, you know, brute force.
I think it depends on this one where we find our combatants at the beginning of this matchup. If Donkey Kong is at a ground level spot and Mega Man is on any type of platform or ladder, I think Donkey Kong can easily throw a barrel at him, shoot out of a barrel at him, or somehow knock him off and have the advantage. But if that's not the case, then I don't know what kind of defense Donkey Kong has from a distance when Mega Man's shooting whatever he is going to be shooting at him.
Hmm. I mean, let's just assume that he has his regular X Buster, and then he has his, you know, let's say that maybe he absorbs something from Beautiful Joe, like maybe he can draw, you know, a hole in the ground and Donkey Kong just falls through when he's stampeding forward, or, you know,
even
he takes
if he just
part
has
the helmet.
The blaster.
Yeah, I mean, he could just knock him right out.
Yeah, Donkey Kong's got to get this fight to close range before he's done, And Mega Man just has to connect with enough hits before Donkey Kong gets to him.
And Mega Man is also acrobatic.
Right.
So he could just, you know, do a quick touch flip and go right over him and then blast him from behind.
Now, there are, I would think there's a lot of Donkey Kong fans out there, but there's a lot of Mega Man fans out there, too. So this is another one where popularity, I don't know how much it has to play in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Mike, do you see any scenario that Donkey Kong can defeat Mega Man from a distance, or does he have to close it and make this like a hand-to-hand combat thing?
He has to get in close. At a distance, Mega Man is going to just destroy him instantly. The funny thing is, I mentioned a minute ago that Donkey Kong has no powers, and then Steve mentioned the brute force thing, and the first thing I think of is, oh, Donkey Kong is Batman and Superman in the same character.
Only you would make that reference.
But yeah, no, I think Mega Man's going to take it to Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, if you really want to come down to intelligence over the characters, all Mega Man's got to do is toss him a bunch of bananas, and you know.
I mean, it does in some ways parallel the Mario Yoshi fight, not completely. I mean, Yoshi and Donkey Kong are completely different characters in a lot of ways, but it's a similar situation where you have maybe a smarter, more agile person going against somebody who has to rely on kind of just dumb luck and brute force type thing. So I'd be interested to see if those two fights go the same way, and I'd be surprised if we have like a Yoshi win and then Mega Man win, or Mario win and then Donkey Kong win, because that would be kind of people voting different ways there. You would think it would either be Mario and Mega Man or Yoshi and Donkey Kong. But we'll have to wait and see how people vote. And then that takes us to what our seventh battle was in round one, second to last one on that side, which was Bomberman versus Conker. And Steve, how did that one play out?
Again, it was kind of almost a half and half, literally. Bomberman managed to bomb Conker. Fed him a fake squirrel. It was a bomb. 16-8.
Yeah, so, you know, another close one. Only 8 votes separated them, basically. I think people might be sleeping on Bomberman. I mean, the guy's got bombs. And he can be sneaky with them, and he's got a lot of them. So I think... don't underestimate Bomberman. That would mean that Bomberman would get to go against the winner of Pikachu and Kirby. And obviously there's been a lot of talk about Kirby. Let's see how he actually did it when it came to voting for first round, Steve.
He ate that damn mouse.
Kirby over Pikachu by what count?
13-9.
Only 4 votes separating them. That is the closest of our battles, actually. Is that because of the number of Pokemon fans out there?
Possibly.
I don't know. It could be, and I think that because Pikachu's the most well-known out of the Pokemon.
Because it seemed like a lot of people... it seemed like a lot of people were talking about Kirby and how he's the odds-on favorite and he could destroy the whole tournament. And he's coming away with the slimmest margin of victory here in round one so far. But I guess that either way, he still wins. And that puts Kirby against Bomberman. And I don't care what everybody has to say about Kirby and that he can just inhale everybody and take their powers and whatnot. He can't actually take their... Let's correct one thing. He doesn't just get to take everybody's power and keep them unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. He doesn't just get to take someone's power, keep it unlimited, and just, you know, go through everything and eat everybody. And even if he does eat Bomberman... then what's saying that Bomberman can't go kamikaze on him and blow both of them up?
That's very true.
He could just blow himself up in Kirby and they'd both just die. I mean...
What now?
Or at least he could get Kirby... if Kirby eats everything, I think it would be pretty easy for Bomberman to convince Kirby to eat some bombs. Yeah. I mean, I know Bomberman's not the more popular character, and I know this will probably be a landslide vote for Kirby, but I think Bomberman has one of the best shots in this tournament of taking Kirby out. Kirby eats things. Bomberman has bombs. Like, eat a bomb, blow up, pink Kirbiness everywhere. Mike, how do you see this one going?
That sounds so wrong.
It's like when the Stay Puft marshmallow blew up.
Oh, my God, that sounds so wrong.
I could be wrong. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to vote for Kirby. How do you see it playing out, Mike?
Kirby versus Bomberman. Kirby can eat anything. even bombs, and he's not going to be affected. So I think Kirby's going to take it.
You can't blow up?
I don't think so. It's been a long time since I've played a Kirby game, so...
Maybe I'm just biased, because I want Kirby to lose somewhere in this. Because I disagree with the whole, I'm just going to eat everything and hail everybody's power and nobody can beat me. I'm like the biggest badass in the world. But that's just not the case. It's Kirby.
He's like a Jell-O version of Mega Man.
Steve, how do you see this one going?
Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your scenario... I see this going in favor of Kirby, only for the fact that Bomberman, yes, he may be a bomb, but Kirby can not only absorb him, but Kirby can fly. Kirby can, well, in his weird sort of air-sucking way. Oh, Dad would have field day with that one. He has his sword that he can unleash in the, you know, when he's coming down. He can turn into a ton of bricks and land on top of them, so even if Bomberman exploded, he would be safe.
I saw someone did like certain battles, not really like a tournament like this, but they were just doing an individual battle online somewhere, and they had Kirby going against Boo from Dragon Ball.
Oh, nice.
Or whatever. I don't remember who he had winning, but it seemed like it was a pretty epic fight because they both can just keep getting bigger, it seems like. So then that's how we have the one side of the bracket. That's it for that side. So we have Mario against Yoshi, Zelda against Link, Mega Man against Donkey Kong, and Bomberman against Kirby. And I think it just gets very interesting from here on out. There might be some blowouts, but I don't think they're obvious blowouts.
Well, let me just say, too, that the funniest thing of all is I called all but one of that side.
Which was the one you didn't call?
Donkey Kong against Fox. I was hoping Fox would take it just because even in when I play the game, Fox royally kicks Donkey Kong's ass when I have the computer playing.
That makes sense. All right, so that means we can move over to the right side of the bracket here, and battle number 9, the first one on the right side, we had Sly Cooper going against Crash Bandicoot. Now, we had a kind of a split panel when we did this record last week. We had people, at least one person... voting on each side of this. Steve, how did it play out? How did Sly and Crash do?
Well, Sly and Crash played out. Sly was pretty slick.
The
9-4.
So another very close one. Another 5-point spread here. So not a huge margin, but Sly prevails, as I think most of us predicted. I'm sorry, Mike.
Shut up.
So that means Sly gets the luck of going against the winner between Rayman and Spyro. How did Spyro and Rayman end up?
Well, this is the start of a massive downfall. Spyro burned his ass with 11-2.
Dragon power. Everybody likes the dragons. I guess my argument failed to try to support Rayman there, even though I'm not really, I don't have anything vested in Rayman. I'm not a huge fan. I just thought he had a chance, but Spyro, I guess, prevails, which means it's Spyro against Sly Cooper. Is it just people voting dragons the rest of the way, or is Sly not just sly enough to go against Crash Bandicoot, but also sly enough to slay the dragon? Mike, how do we go?
I gotta go Spyro again.
How did I know you were gonna say that?
Sly Cooper might be cunning and stealthy and whatever else, but Spyro can just come right at you with the fire, and he can basically fly around your ass, and he can fly circles everywhere. It's just Spyro, hands down.
Have you ever battled a raccoon?
No.
Is that what Sly is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Those things are vicious.
They might be vicious, but again, I think this one specifically falls into what we fell into with Donkey Kong and Mega Man.
I don't think so.
I think it does, because unless Sly can get in there up close, all Spyro's got to do is fly up above him and just flame on.
There is something to be said, though, about the smarter, more intelligent, more cunning opponent, which obviously would be Sly in this. I don't know. I like to tend to vote with the smarter guy than just the dumb luck. But Steve, what were you saying?
Well, I was going to say that I think, you know, yeah, Spyro has the flight and he has the fire, but Spyro also, I could see losing to Sly, only for the fact that Sly's cunning. He seems like he's the kind of character that would wait for the opportune moment, whereas Spyro is more cocky and arrogant and seems more younger, whereas Sly is seems like an older, more seasoned, and would kind of wait his turn to attack and catch him at his when his guard's down. I just see him outsmarting him.
Yeah, I'm kind of siding with you. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to be a landslide, or I think this would be a very clear... Honestly, out of all the matchups we've talked about so far, this is the one I absolutely don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not saying I know how all the other ones are, but I have a feeling. I could kind of guess each one to see. I don't know who's going to win this matchup. I don't know who's going to get the most votes. I don't know if they were actually, you know, I don't even think it matters if you're voting on popularity and who's just the most known character, or if you're voting on, you know, if these two are actually fighting. Either way, I don't know if there's a clear-cut winner. I am going to be, out of all the matchups in this round, this is probably the one I'm going to be the most interested in seeing how it plays out. I just don't, I don't see either one of them having a clear-cut advantage, but I'm kind of with Steve here. I think the smarter one, the more cunning one, and the more... I don't know, just he looks more like a fighter, even though he's going against a dragon that can breathe fire. I don't know.
See that, but that's the thing, though. What you'll have to remind me, because I don't remember past yesterday. What weapons does Sly have to fight with?
He's got that big sickle thing, that like curved hook thing.
Scythe.
Yeah. Okay. And he's got his brain. He can fight with his
brain. So he could just cut off Spyro's wings and just.
And he could just like scoop him out of the air, just like hook him and like toss him somewhere. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he has the better arsenal. I think right. Spyro has the better weapons, you know, most likely. But, man, sometimes you can just get outsmarted and get tricked, and his name's Sly.
I think the... I think the only thing that, like, the only time Spyro would really get fooled by Sly in general is if he's charging at him and Sly moves out of the way. Because I know from playing... the Spyro games, once you get charging, it's sometimes it is hard to stop. But I think if it's in a standstill fight, even if Spyro's flying around, the fire's going to scorch that raccoon. I mean,
could be.
Everybody's going to have raccoon for dinner next week.
Well, we'll have to see what the listeners think. You know, post some scenarios, tell us how, try to convince people to vote one way or the other and give us the best scenario, because I don't know what it is on this one. I'm voting for Sly on this, but I can see Mike's point with Spyro. I can see it going either way. Moving on down the bracket on that side, we had our 11th battle, which saw Ratchet and Clank go against Toe Jam and Earl.
Steve. This is, well, before Steve goes, this is where we had a lot of stuff in the comments about, I don't even understand why some of these characters are here. They're not iconic characters.
If you don't appreciate Toe Jam and Earl being involved, then you have no soul.
The opinions of Optimus Soul do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Geekcast Radio Network.
But they should. Steve, how did this one go between Ratchet and Clank and Toe Jam and Earl?
Well, surprisingly, Toe Jam and Earl got some votes. They got two.
We said that there's that one person out there. Apparently, there's two of them. There's that one person that just wants to throw an axe in there.
Yep, they lost 2-12.
So Ratchet and Clank, commanding win, even though there's two jokers that did vote for Toe Jam and Earl, which means Ratchet and Clank gets to go against the winner of the matchup between Banjo-Kazooie and Jak and Daxter. How did that one play out, Steve?
Do we even have to answer this one? Want to take a guess?
Our first shutout.
Yes. 13-0. Jak and Daxter.
When I saw that shutout, I assumed that it was Toe Jam and Earl, but then I forgot that it was Banjo-Kazooie that were facing off against Jak and Daxter. So no love for Banjo-Kazooie. So that means we have probably one of the best matchups, I think, in this round. As far as just coolness that they ended up going against each other, we have Ratchet and Clank going against Jak and Daxter, Mike.
This is one of the reasons, and I understand why you made the bracket the way you did, but this is one of the reasons why I would want one of these two teams on the other side of the bracket so they can go against each other in the finale or in the in the semifinals or something like that, because these two teams are just amazing. They just
it's more fun having Nintendo against Sony to Sega.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that it would have been cool to see these four these four characters in the finals.
The other thing you got to think about when you're doing that is that could be a dream matchup to see those two going against each other, but by putting them each on opposite sides of the bracket, you would risk them never going against each other. And instead, we have here in the second round a matchup between Ratchet and Clank and Jak and Daxter, so we at least get to talk about it. Steve, who do you think has the upper hand on this one? They both had commanding wins in round one.
I like both designs of both characters. I like both concepts of them and what they do. I'm going to go Ratchet and Clank. And no, Mike, not because David Kaye voices Clank.
Liar!
It's because I like robots more in general. And I think that having the robot companion would be more of an uplift to Ratchet than having a freaking weasel. even though he's sarcastic and he could probably kick ass too, I think that, you know, you have the more hardened warriors, and then you have the more kind of, you know, techno warriors above that are kind of more raw. But I think that I still think that they would manage to come out ahead using technology over brute force.
This is one where I'm again torn between my heart and my head here, because my heart wants to vote for Jak and Daxter, but my head's telling me I should probably vote for Ratchet and Clank. I'm actually going to hold off on voting on this one. You know, voting's open for, you know, a while now once this airs, and I'm going to wait and see if someone can convince me one way or the other on this one. Some of them I'm going to vote right away, but on this one I'm going to hold off and see if someone in the comments on the website can convince me to go one way or the other way, because I kind of want to vote for Jak and Daxter, but I need to hear a good argument for that. Otherwise, my default vote will be for Ratchet and Clank. Mike, what do you think?
I've only played each of their games since they've been out, and I don't remember. Steve, is Ratchet and Clank, are they like, is one more serious than the other and one is a goof off, or are they both serious characters, or
it's kind of, they're very even as far as personalities, like as far as I can tell. Like Ratchet and Clank are, I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of sarcasm going through between the two of them, but it's, I get the feeling that they've almost not been at it as long as Jak and Daxter.
Because I remember playing the Jak and Daxter games, and Jak is really, really serious, and Daxter is this...
Well, I mean, it's basically the same thing. I mean, their sidekicks are their sarcastic relief.
Right, but Clank is more, like, upper-crust sarcastic.
Yeah.
Like, he's more like...
Daxter's lowbrow.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Daxter is very lowbrow. Daxter is someone that would, if Clank had pants, Daxter would de-pants him.
Well, Daxter would be like, those are your testicles, aren't they?
It's just one of those things where, it's just one of the reasons why I like this battle so much, is because you have four characters that are very similar as far as a little bit in their personalities, and I'm just wondering if Daxter's scheming will outwit Clank's logical approach.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because, I mean, sneaky people can get a few up on over intelligent people.
Yeah, if you're sly, you can
get one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
shut the hell up. Dragon fire, damn it. Dragon fire.
Dragon fire or Dragon Balls? I'm sorry.
No, Dragon fire.
Oh, okay. Moving on down the bracket on that side here, we get to our 13th battle, which saw Earthworm Jim face off against Bubsy. how did this one go, Steve?
Well,
come on, a cat's got nine lives.
I think Earthworm Jim, you know, not only pantsed and delived him, but I think that he left him with one life to live.
Only in the world of video games does a worm beat a cat. But Earthworm Jim takes it to Bubsy. What was the final count in that one?
12-1.
12-1. More people voted for Toe Jam and Earl than for Bubsy. And then that will put Earthworm Jim against the winner of Gex and Sonic. Steve, how much did Sonic win?
It's the Geico Gecko.
Sonic ran circles around this one.
Very 13-1. Yeah, so we had a 12-1 and a 13-1. So now we have Earthworm Jim against Sonic the Hedgehog. I know that Sonic will blow this one out of the water because he's the more popular character, has a huge following, he's super fast, etc. Are we selling Earthworm Jim short though? I mean, he's got the gun, he's got the firepower. Mike, how do you see this one going?
Earthworm Jim is sneaky in his attacks and stuff like that, but it's Sonic. I mean, you know,
Sonic should definitely be faster than the Earthworm.
Well, yeah, it's not like he's just gonna
suit or no suit. So, yeah, I mean, Earthworm is gonna have to hit a couple different shots in a row to make sure Sonic's rings go out, and then hit him again and again. And I don't know if Sonic's if he's gonna be able to do that with Sonic's speed. Steve, how do you see Sonic versus Earthworm Jim playing out?
I see Sonic running circles around him, turning into his spike. You know, the super fast cutting hedgehog piece that he turns into, where he can just plow through stuff. I see him cutting right through the suit.
Yeah, that would leave Earthworm Jim in a world of trouble, but we've already seen the Earthworm take out a cat, so can the Earthworm take out a hedgehog?
He'd have to be faster than the hedgehog.
That's true. And then moving on down, we have our final two matchups. Battle 15 saw Pac-Man go against Frogger in our Battle of the Classic Characters here. So Pac-Man against Frogger, how'd that play out, Steve? Did Frogger trick Pac-Man into walking in front of a semi?
No, he got hosed. He got ran over by that truck 14 times over.
Our second shutout of the first round here, Pac-Man 14-0 over Frogger. So apparently, maybe it shouldn't be a surprise there, because Frogger half the time doesn't need anybody battling him. He just kills himself. So Pac-Man victorious, which means he gets to face off against the winner between Q-Bert and Dig Dug. Now, this is one where Q-Bert is probably... I mean, a lot of people could make the argument that Q-Bert was a more popular character. We made the argument that Dig Dug would probably take this one. Were we right or wrong, Steve?
Oh, yeah, he took it 13-2.
So Dig Dug over Q-Bert, 13-2, which sets up a matchup between Pac-Man and Dig Dug. Mike?
I wish Neil was here for this, because we really would need Neil on this to argue this one. I honestly don't know.
I mean, Dig Dug could put that thing in there, blow him up, inflate him, or chuck his little thing at him. Mm-hmm. Pac-Man would have to eat him. I guess that's Pac-Man's only offense, would be to eat Dig Dug. Dig Dug's not super fast, so that might play into Pac-Man's favor. Steve, how do you see this one playing out?
I see Pac-Man going ow, 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 ow on top of Dig Dug, using his 3D animation against his 2D animation.
That's funny.
Yeah, I see Pac-Man chomping his way to the top.
Steve, or I mean Mike, you agree or disagree?
I don't know. I see. This is one of the things where
Dig Dug already took out Q-Bert. Could he take out another classic favorite and take out Pac-Man?
See, that's the thing. I'm not sure. Because
is Dig Dug going to win this whole thing?
Oh, no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no. Don't even go there.
Oh, my. So on this side of the bracket, just to recap, we have Sly going against Spyro. We have Ratchet and Clank going against Jak and Daxter. We have Earthworm Jim going against Sonic the Hedgehog. And we have Pac-Man going against Dig Dug. So those are all your round two matchups, going back from what we said before with all the Nintendo side and this side. Seeing what you have, the one that I'm most intrigued to see how people vote would be the Sly and Spyro matchup. I really don't know how that's going to go. I'm also interested to see what kind of arguments or scenarios people can give us between Ratchet and Clank and Jak and Daxter. Mike, what are you looking forward to most? Or what's the most lopsided one we're going to have here? Who's going to have the biggest margin of victory in round two?
I'm not sure. I think the two that are going to come the closest are Zelda and Link, and the two double teams, Ratchet and Clank and Jak and Daxter. Those are going to be the two closest matchups. Yeah. As far as runaways,
I think Sonic versus Earthworm Jim might be the biggest runaway.
Yeah, that might be.
Or Bomberman and Kirby. And Bomberman.
Yeah.
I can see that going that way, too.
Yeah, but the rest are all going to be too close to call.
Well, and this is when it starts to get interesting, too. Every time we move to the next round, it becomes more hard to tell and a little bit more interesting to see how people vote and how things are going to actually shake up to see what kind of matchups we would get in the next round, in the quarterfinals. I don't know, Steve, how do you see this whole thing now that we know all the winners of round one and we know the matchups of round two? How are you sitting? What do you think about the tournament so far?
I think it's going to get a lot more interesting now. I think that a lot of the kind of name calling to the tournament and kind of getting mad at some of the scenarios are going to be kind of over. I think because a lot of the shutouts have happened, a lot of the ones that we didn't think were going to, you know, make it to the next round maybe. But I think that now they're going to start getting more, more specialized in their attacks against each other, and it's going to get more diverse as it gets closer to the finale.
I think also it's going to be interesting because now is when we're going to get to see, are people just going to strictly vote for the more popular character, or are they going to vote for scenarios and who would actually have the upper hand in a one-on-one battle? Because, you know, it's obvious that Mario is one of the most popular characters of all time. That doesn't mean that Mario couldn't get beat by a certain select characters throughout this tournament. Same with everybody else that's been put out there as a favorite, whether it be Kirby, whether it be Ratchet and Clank, whether it be whoever. There's got to be people within this tournament that would have the upper hand, but are people just going to vote straight favorites and straight popularity? Or is it going to come down to, well, that person had the wrong matchup, so even though they should on paper win this whole thing, they ran up against the wrong person and they're going to be eliminated in this round or in the next round or whatever, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to be interesting. Because it's going to, as we consistently whittle these rounds down to the finale, it's going to be interesting to see who makes it, who doesn't. I think people are going to get a lot more upset as we go through to see which characters do and don't make it.
Yeah, as people see their favorites go to the wayside, there definitely will be some backlash. But that's fine. As long as we're getting feedback, that's what makes us fun, the discussion, the comments, the debates, the scenarios that people post. And what's the best way for people to get involved in this tournament, Mike?
Go to geekcastradio.com, look for GCRN Wars Episode 17, listen to the episode, then vote.
And state your opinion. Try to get other people, try to convince us to vote in other ways. And feel free to talk about this to your friends. You know, put it on your own Facebook, tweet it out. Try to rally support for whoever you're wanting to vote for. And we'll see how it goes. Steve, when can people vote?
It will be up on Wednesday, 10 a.m.
All right. So get your votes in, spread the word, and we'll see what happens. And we will be back next week to discuss the winners of round two and the matchups for the quarterfinals.
Thank you for listening to GCRN Wars. You can get a hold of us in the following ways. You can contact us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can comment on this episode post with the poll. Please be sure to fill out the voting. And if you'd like to leave an explanation, leave it in the comments below. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, hashtag GCRN Wars. That's GCRNWARZ. So until next time, tune in and check out GCRN Wars Tournament on episode 16, where we cover the other half of round one's fight. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.
score gets higher, they multiply. Dig dug. Dig dug. Dig dug. Dig dug. Dig dug. Now come on, everybody. Take a chance. We're going underground into the dig dug dance.
Use your pump just like a bazooka. Use it to blow up.
Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.